Have you ever felt betrayed? You know, maybe you've been cheated on. Maybe somebody stabbed you in the back. You've been lied to, right? Somebody told your personal information and they totally betrayed your trust. Sometimes we get stolen from. This is a big betrayal. And sometimes someone has just let us down that we expected to take care of us. Look, you're human. I know you've been betrayed because it's just part of the deal. But this is the Good Mood Show, and this is the episode on overcoming the feelings of betrayal. What you're going to learn today is that it's not the act that we think is harming us. It's actually just our interpretation and the meanings we give the event. I've got a 6-step process on how to overcome the negative feelings of betrayal and get back to your happiness and your joy and good moods and good vibes. I cannot wait to share it with you.
Welcome to The Good Mood Show. Here's your host, Matt O'Neill.
So 2 days ago, I got some news that made me feel like I had really been betrayed. And man, when we feel betrayed, it feels so bad. And this is The Good Mood Show, and I don't want to feel bad, you know? So one of the things that I've learned through my journey to good moods is that these events that make us feel bad are really our doorway into how we feel good. Because I believe God sends us events and circumstances, like the exact right events and circumstances, for our personal growth. And all of our growth is an evolution out of the negativity of the ego, which is believing lies that make us feel bad, and into the ultimate truth of love. Because love is the foundation of God, it's the foundation of everything. And so anytime we feel like totally hurt, and man, I have felt totally hurt this week, it is an opportunity. It is an opportunity to examine the thoughts that are getting in the way of how we can actually feel good. So here's what happened to me. 2 years ago, I had a dear friend I worked with every single day for 10 years. And he went out and started his own company. And I was proud of him. I was happy for him. What I didn't see coming was that the primary source of how he was going to grow his company was by calling people who worked at my company. In a matter of a few months, we had 30% of our company leave us. And all of them had been called by him. And many of them went to work with him. And it was just really painful, like extremely painful. That felt like a big betrayal. And I had to work on it for a long time to figure out how to deal with it. And at the same time, we lost all those people. Interest rates went up. We were losing money every single month. I was like paying salaries out of my savings account. My wife and I were sleepless nights every night just figuring out how we could continue to pay the people that we were loyal to and that we thought were loyal to us and like provide a life for them and then figure out how to save the company at the same time. So it was extremely stressful. And, if you've been listening to The Good Mood Show, you've heard about this time. Well, on Monday, I found out that one of those lieutenants, one of the people I was closest to, that was with me in the thick and the thin, that was like knew that I was covering her salary out of my personal savings accounts. I just found out that she left to join that firm. And the feeling of just hurt, like, oh my gosh, she could have gone anywhere. Like, why? Why there? And then on the same day, I find out that two other people I had worked with for over a decade, like just loved completely. One of them came to my wedding. Two of these people also had gone and worked at this company and still are at this company. I found all of this information out on the same day. And man, I just felt totally betrayed. Like, man, so, you know, what are the feelings of betrayal? Well, I mean, the first one that we feel is anger. Like just, you know, our heart is so hurt and we feel so vulnerable and we feel so attacked that like we get super angry to protect ourselves, to protect our vulnerability. But from this work and the Good Mood Show and just understanding anger, I've done a ton of work on anger. I know that anger is not the primary emotion. It's always a second emotion that's coming in to protect me and it's protecting my vulnerability. So I didn't act in anger. And that's, you know, I'm going to teach you a 6-step process today on how to overcome betrayal. But the first step, step one, is don't get in the box. What's the box? Well, there was an incredible book, highly recommended. It's called Leadership and Self-Deception by the Arbinger Institute. And in that book, he says that anytime you say something in anger, you box yourself into a really small position and you now have to defend everything you say with more angry deeds and actions. So if I had on Monday when I found this out, called this agent and just said, "You're a son of a gun and I can't believe you did this and how dare you." And well, if I just said all this stuff in anger, I have now boxed myself in and I have to defend that everything I said, all the mean words I said were actually appropriate when they weren't appropriate. So then what do you do when you say things that aren't appropriate? You have to say more things that aren't appropriate to make the first things seem like they were normal and okay and acceptable, but they weren't acceptable. So step one, when you feel betrayed, is don't box yourself in. You cannot act in that anger. You can't seek revenge in that moment, because if you do, you will have to defend your actions. Here's the crazy thing. If you do box yourself in, and you could even do this just by complaining to other people. Like, I could have gone to everyone in my company and started to say, "Oh, what a dirty, rotten scoundrel. Like, I can't believe it. They are terrible. What a jerk." Well, I've now boxed myself in with everyone in my company, right? I didn't do this, thank goodness, because I've learned this lesson and I've boxed myself in so many times that I know not to do it. But if you do start talking smack about somebody, this is what happens when you're in that box. You actually want them to hurt you again, because it verifies and justifies that all the mean words you said about them were true. And at this point, when you're boxed in, you would rather be right about how mean they are than you would be happy. You'd rather be right that they're awful than you would have them come say, "I'm sorry," legitimately, and try to make amends. So don't box yourself in. That's step one. And the next emotion, if you can just stay out of the anger, is sadness. Man, like, that's where I'm at. I just feel so hurt. So if you've been betrayed, let's say you've been cheated on. Man, that's like, it's awful. It's, you know, somebody that you trusted with everything has now betrayed your trust. And, you know, you might get angry, you might say some mean words, but hopefully you just move yourself to the next phase, which is recognizing how you really feel. And how you really feel is super disappointed and really hurt. And so if you can admit the root emotion that, man, my heart is just broken. I just feel so sad. I feel violated. Like, I don't understand. Like, I loved you so much. I don't know why I would get this treatment. That's a really powerful step. You know, other feelings that can happen from feeling betrayed are a feeling of distrust. Like, will I ever trust anyone again? Like, maybe I shouldn't. Maybe I shouldn't trust people. If they're just going to go ahead and stab me in the back, maybe I shouldn't trust them and I shouldn't help them. Well, that's not helpful. You know, so just recognize that distrust is an emotion that comes up most of the time when we feel betrayed. And if we live a life where we never want to trust anyone, that is not a life worth living. Because if we can't open our hearts to people, we can't actually feel good moods. So just know that that could be there. The other feeling that can come up that's really big if we feel betrayed is a feeling of insecurity. Like, you know, egotistical as we all are, we think everything's about us. So if somebody betrays you, let's say they stole from you or they lied to you or they violated your trust in some way, you know, you can feel like there's something wrong with you, that you deserve it in some way. And this is the root emotion of shame. And it's never true. You never deserve punishment. You never deserve to be abused. You never deserve to be treated poorly. So if you do feel some type of insecurity, you know, like, maybe there's something wrong with me that I deserve this, recognize that's a normal emotion. That's the feeling of shame. And then affirm the truth. And the truth is, you're guided, you're protected, you're loved. There's so many people in your life that are loyal to you, that are helping you, that are wanting to see you succeed, that want to see you win. And, you know, if nothing else, God's always there and he's always by your side and he's always loving you. So there's no reason to stay in that feeling of insecurity. So you know, here's the second step. Once we make sure we don't box ourselves in, the next thing that we do is we go to the work. And the work is by Byron Katie. Byron Katie is a woman. Her first name's Byron. She wrote a book called Loving What Is. I've recommended that book just as many times as any other book. Like, maybe it's the most recommended book I've ever offered to anyone because it's so profound. I highly recommend it in audio version. Today, I'm going to teach you the process of the work that Byron Katie teaches. And, you know, so Tuesday, I woke up at 2 a.m, didn't wake up. I was just like jolted awake at this, just the feeling of betrayal. And for 2 hours, I laid in bed and just did the work in my head over and over and over, because the work is our path to freedom from feeling betrayed. Because here's the thing, like, again, it's not the act that somebody did that harms us. It's our emotions and our thoughts about it. It's the meaning that we're assigning to it. You know, it's the feeling of hurt. It's the feeling of anger. It's the feeling of distrust. Those are the things that hurt us. The actual act, it doesn't hurt us. You know, not in the long run. We're going to recover from it. You know, maybe in the short run, it did hurt. You know, maybe if you were abused, yeah, that did hurt. But now who you are today is someone who's powerful and strong. And that hurt is now in the past, since the only time we're hurting ourselves is over and over and over again in our minds. So somebody might have cut us once, but we cut ourselves 1,000 times every time we think about how hurt we are and how sad we are. So the work helps us overcome that. And here's the work. The first step is to do a judge your neighbor worksheet. And in the judge your neighbor worksheet, Byron Katie offers some questions. And I printed one out and I filled it out yesterday just to make myself get over this, because I don't want to stay hurt. The first question is, in this situation, who angers, confuses, hurts, saddens, or disappoints me, and why? And then she's got a prompt. I am blank emotion with blank person because. So when you're filling out this sheet, you don't want to be like all holy about it. You want to be really petty, because you want to get the actual venom, the darkness that's inside of you, out of your head and onto paper, so that the second step, where we can question it and we can see if it's even true and decide how to turn it around to see how the opposite is also true, then it works better. So in my first sentence, in this situation, who angers, confuses, hurts, saddens, or disappoints me, and why? I said, I'm pissed with Beth because she betrayed me. The next question is, in this situation, how do I want them to change? What do I want them to do? And it's, I want blank person too. And so I said, I want Beth to not call and recruit my agents. So we're going to work with these two questions, and there's more questions on the sheet, and you do want to fill them all out and be as petty and mean as you can, because that's what's actually inside of my head is meanness, or else I wouldn't feel hurt. Like, if I just had love and compassion for Beth, I would just be like, oh man, no problem. Like, hey, I get it. You do you. You're just living your best life. I'm just living my best life. We'll high five. We'll be happy. It's not how I feel. I feel betrayed. So again, it's not her problem. It's my problem. I'm the one who wants to be in a good mood. And for me to be in a good mood, I've got to totally forgive her so that I can focus on being my best self and not wake up in the middle of the night like I have the last 2 nights, just totally hurt. So then we move to the 4 questions of Byron Katie. Once we get our answers to the first judging questions out, the first of those 4 questions is this statement true? So my first question, or my first statement, is, I'm pissed at Beth because she betrayed me. Is it true? Did she betray me? Well, my first answer is, yeah, she did. The second question is, can I absolutely know for a fact that that was their intention? Well, no, I can't. I can't get inside Beth's head and know that her intention was to betray me or to hurt me. So question 2 opens us up. It's just like, when we're feeling hurt and betrayed, we are like so certain they did it on purpose and they wanted us to feel bad and they wanted us to suffer. And then we're just so, you know, feel so righteous in the way that we're hurt and they did it to us. Well, question two, where we ask, can we get inside their mind and know for sure what they were thinking? And the answer is always no. You can't ever get inside someone's head and know what they're thinking. You may think you know, but you cannot know because you're not them. You only know yourself. So question two, it starts to create a little bit of an opening in our perception. And this opening allows us to start to heal. Now, you have to want to heal more than you want them to suffer. You got to want to be happy more than you want revenge. You can't get both. You can't have your revenge and want them to suffer and be angry and then also be happy at the same time. Anger and happiness cannot exist at the same time. Justification and being right and getting your revenge and being happy at the same time, it doesn't work. You can have one or the other. You can either be right, be justified, be angry and try to get your revenge, or you can let go of all that stuff that really doesn't mean anything in the long run and choose happiness because that's what we really, really, really want. We don't really want revenge. We want to feel great. Question three says, when I'm thinking this thought, who am I? So when I'm suffering from the thought that I feel like Beth betrayed me, you know, who am I in that? How do I react? How do I show up? And I show up really sad. I'm like coming into work, melancholy. Like yesterday I almost didn't even walk into a meeting. I just sat in my car and I'm like, I don't know if I can even go in here. I feel so hurt. And then when I got in the meeting, I just kind of slumped in my chair and I didn't say anything. And, you know, I was just melancholy. You know, also I didn't sleep all night because I was so upset about it. And so then when I saw my kids, I was just lethargic and tired. And they're like, Daddy, 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 let me tell you all about my day. And I'm like, oh, man, I don't know if I have the energy for this. You know, I just want to crawl in a shell and just feel bad. So who am I when I'm believing this thought that Beth betrayed me? I'm really my worst self. I'm not my best self. Question four, who would I be if this thought could never exist in my mind? Like if you could just erase this thought that Beth betrayed me from my mind, if it just couldn't exist anymore, who would I be then? Well, shoot, if I wasn't all hurt and sad about this idea that she betrayed me, I would have a ton of energy. I would have been excited to do my workout yesterday, which I skipped because I felt so bad. I would have gone into work and like high-fived people and hugged them and gave them like love and support and like really poured into them. I would have loved to go to that meeting. And when I'm in that meeting, like I crush it. I'm always so good helping encourage my team. Like when if I couldn't believe this thought anymore that I was betrayed, I would be so good. I would be so happy with my kids. I'd be my best self. Well, that's called leverage. When we see that our thought about the situation is what's destroying our life and not the situation, but our thinking about it. And that if we stopped the thinking, if we could eliminate the thinking, that then we'd be amazing again. We have leverage to want to stop it. So the last part of Byron Katie's work is to turn around the statement to the opposite. So the opposite of Beth betrayed me is Beth didn't betray me. And this is the hard part. You got to want happiness more than you want to be right. You have to come up with two reasons why your new turnaround statement that she didn't betray me is just as true as the first statement. So the first statement, you know, Beth didn't betray me. What's a reason? Well, you know, she is excited about another job opportunity and she's not betraying me. She's just following her heart. You know, another reason she didn't betray me is she sent me a really nice note, you know, a really nice email. And said that she loves me and she cares about me and she wishes the best for my family. And that doesn't sound like someone who's betraying me. That sounds like somebody that's just doing what they think is best for them. So you have to be vulnerable and humble to see how the turnaround could be true. You know, there's another turnaround. And the other turnaround is to see how you have become the thing you judge in the other. So if my thought is Beth betrayed me, the other turnaround is I betrayed Beth. okay, this one could be hard to come up with answers, but they're there if you are willing to be happy. So how did I betray Beth? Well, in my mind, when I found the news out, I was thinking every kind of awful, rotten thing about her that you could ever think. Hey, that's a betrayal of somebody that I really care about. You know, I wouldn't say those things to somebody I care about, so I betrayed her just with the way I thought about her. You know, another betrayal was also in my mind. I wanted to see this new venture of hers not work. You know, that's not how you care about somebody. That's not how you look out for somebody. Only someone that you want to betray would you want to see them fail. So how did I betray Beth? With my thoughts. You know, maybe not my actions. Definitely not my actions, but with my thoughts. So that's how I have become the thing I judge. If you have someone that you feel betrayed by, I highly recommend you Google The Work by Byron Katie, B-Y-R-O-N-K-A-T-I-E. Her worksheets are free. You can download the Judge Your Neighbor worksheet, and then you can download those four questions, and you can work out the answers to those questions and see how the opposite of your judgment is just as true as your judgment. And I'll tell you what happens. As soon as you do this process, your brain stops ruminating and obsessing about why you're right and why your judgment is right, because your brain can see at the exact same time the exact opposite of what you think is also right. And it's crazy. You know, we think we know what the truth is. We don't. There's always two sides. And when we can fully see the other side, our brain is like, okay, well, I guess I don't have to be so obsessed about this betrayal anymore. And then that opens us up to be happy. And that's what we want. And then again, it's a good mood show. Let's feel good. Okay, the next step. So I did this yesterday. I did the work for a long time. And I don't think there's anything more important, because if all I did was stay a shell of myself, like I could stay sad and hurt for months if I allowed it. So spending hours yesterday doing the work and really seeing how the opposites of all my judgments were also true allowed me to become my best self today. And here I am on this podcast this morning teaching how to overcome betrayal. You know, and it's just 2 days later. So that's, I mean, that's huge progress for me. Something like this could have sunk me for a month before, maybe 6 months. So if we can get over it in just a couple of days and get back to being amazing, well, shoot, let's do it. All right, step three, be honest how you feel. So step one was don't get in the box, which means don't act in anger. Step two was see how your judgments are true and the opposite. But step three is, man, I woke up this morning still hurt. I did all the work. Well, my heart was still just broken. And it, not judgmental. I don't want to hurt her. I don't want revenge. I just feel so sad. So, you know, I sent her a message. I sent her an email and said, my heart's just broken. And, you know, you can't send a message wanting them to feel bad, you know, but at the same time, if healing is going to happen in our relationship, which is what I would want, then I've got to be honest and say, this really hurt me. Not to manipulate. Again, there's our minds can play this game, and you got to be real careful. Am I being honest with you so that you know you suck? Like that what you did was wrong and that I'm right and you suck? Or am I being honest with you just because I truly want us to have healing and I don't want to harbor anything negative and maybe we could rebuild our trust again? You have to come from that place, the second place. You know, be real careful with step three. You can deceive yourself so much about thinking that you just are going to be honest. And by the way, this will be helpful for them so that this is what you'll say to yourself. Hey, this will be helpful for you if I tell you what you did wrong so you never do anyone else like you did me. No, it won't be helpful. You don't give them advice. It's not if you're trying to give them advice, you're just going to box yourself in. You're still angry and you're still in that revenge seeking. So if you need to, skip step three. But if you're healed enough, you can admit the truth that I feel pretty hurt by this if you really want to move forward in a positive direction. All right, step four, pray. So this morning, I just prayed so hard. And I said, God, I want to see this situation with your eyes. You know, first I put my hand on my heart and I just felt my heartbeat. And I said prayers of gratitude to God for all that's here. I said, God, thank you for giving me life today. I know I'm not owed life. You don't have to keep me alive. I'm here. So I appreciate it. And then I said, man, thank you for my daughters being alive. Thank you for my son. Thank you for Katie and her health. Thank you that my mom is here. And, you know, and then I started to say thank you for these incredible, loyal people that have been by my side and still are, that came to me this week and said, oh, man, oh, this hurts, Matt. I'm so sorry for you, like with tears in their eyes, because they don't want to see me hurt. Right. And they're hurt because I'm hurt. And so I said, thank you to them. I said, God, thank you that I have people in my life that really, really care about how I feel. And then I said, help me today. I really want to forgive. I really want to see the other side of this so that I can find joy again. And I just feel so sad today. I'm not feeling the joy. I no longer want to believe what I believe that's making me feel this way. I'm willing to see this situation completely different. I am so willing to see Beth with your eyes. Could you just give me your eyes and let me see the love in her, the innocence in her? Could you let me give her complete compassion and complete forgiveness and complete grace? Amen. That was my prayer. Step 5. Be open to symbols. So if you pray sincerely, God will answer. And he doesn't speak in words, sometimes maybe, but most of the time it's symbolism. So I went to basketball after that prayer. And I love the guys I play basketball with. Super good group of guys. These are my friends. I've played basketball with them for years. And I'm playing, and one of the guys smacks the ball out of my hand. And as he does, I mean, it was a great steal on his part. As he does, his hand grabs my left ring finger and just rips it down. It means it's, you know, playing basketball, it's a contact sport. Tyler was not trying to hurt me at all. He's just doing his job. And I got hurt. Man, the symbolism there. My finger is really hurt. You know, my hand's going to swell up today. It's going to need ice. I'm going to need some ibuprofen to stop the swelling. It's probably going to be hurt for months. And it's a consequence of me playing basketball that sometimes in this contact sport that I just love to play, you get hurt and the other person doesn't mean to do it. Well, when I'm open to symbolism and I ask God to show me the innocence of Beth, I was like, huh, okay. Well, if I'm in business, sometimes I'm going to get hurt. And the other person doesn't mean it at all. They're just doing their best. And yeah, it hurts, but I'm going to heal. And it's going to be okay. Another step of symbolism happened later. Tyler had to leave. He had to go to work early. And this hasn't happened to me maybe in a year, but he said, hey, Matt, will you change shirts and be on my team and take my place? And so I traded teams. The symbolism was not lost on me. That all of a sudden I was playing for my team, the dark shirt team, and trying my best to win. And then I needed to change teams and join the other team and help them to the best of my ability to win. And I didn't hate the dark team. I didn't want ill for them. I didn't want them to suffer. You know, and it just so happened that I needed to change teams. And so, you know, I thought, okay, I hear you, God. You know, maybe Beth just needed to change teams. And it doesn't mean that she wants ill for me or she wants me to hurt or she wants me to suffer. She may really want good things for me, like I want them for my friends on that basketball court. But she needed to change teams. And so if you pray sincerely for answers, God will answer you in symbolism and you have to be willing to see it and accept it. The step six is forgive. And forgiveness happens because you choose it. You know, for it, when you hold on to your resentment and you hold on to your grudge, you're doing it because you think it's going to harm the other person and it's somehow going to get your revenge and atone for what they did. And what happens is it just keeps you in prison. And you are in a prison of bad moods. So not forgiving and holding on to a grudge, even if you don't want to hold on to it, it keeps your soul locked up in negativity. One of my favorite quotes is, when one forgives, two souls are set free. You think that not forgiving them completely, like really honestly forgiving them, is going to somehow make it right what they did. But it doesn't. It just hurts you and it hurts them. You know, two wrongs don't make a right. So moving to the last step of full forgiveness is one where you just say, honestly, I want to forgive you. And I forgive you. And, you know, we just had Chuck on the Good Mood Show, and he was so good with this concept of forgiveness. And he said, forgiveness is I forgive the debt. You know, I fully forgive the debt. You're not going to owe me anything. I just forgive it. And with Beth, you know, my family prayed for her every night at the dinner table. And then my daughter and I prayed for her every night. For her to heal. She had a health thing that was going on. We prayed for her every night for months on end. And this morning I was like, oh, man, how could you hurt me when all I did was just pray for your healing and just want the best for you? But here's the thing. I'm owed nothing. It doesn't matter how much I wanted good for her. It doesn't matter how many nice things I did, how you know, kind I was. It doesn't, none of it matters. She owes me nothing. And this is part of forgiveness, is it, you understand that you're owed nothing. God doesn't owe you your life. Other people don't owe you the kindness that you give them. Other people don't owe you the honor that you think you would give them in the same situation. They're just doing their own thing. And they don't owe you to act in any way that you think they should act. And in thinking that they do owe you anything, and not forgiving them and just allowing them to be who they are and not holding their debt against them holds you in prison. So you have to say, I forgive your debt. You never owed me anything in the first place. You don't owe me anything now. And I forgive you and I just wish you well. And man, not easy to do. I'm doing it today to the best of my ability. Beth, if you hear this, I know you don't owe me anything. I'm sure you're wishing me well. I'm wishing you well. And if you've been betrayed in your life and you need help forgiving, pray for it. You know, Chris Singleton came on the Good Mood Show in the very first beginning, like maybe episode 20. And Chris was the guy I wanted to talk to the most of anyone in the world. Like this was the one person I wanted to interview to figure out forgiveness. Chris's mom was murdered in a hate crime in Charleston at the AME church. And Chris showed up to the trial with the person who killed his mom and said, I forgive you. And I just wanted to hear how in the world would you forgive that kind of a betrayal? And on the show, and listen to that episode, go back to the episode, it's called Forgiveness with Chris Singleton. I asked Chris, I said, how did you forgive that person? And he said, I didn't, God did. He said, I prayed. I said, God, I can't do this on my own. I need you. Please come over me and help me forgive. And God came into his being and gave him the feeling of forgiveness that he carries with him to this day. And here's the crazy thing. He has now helped thousands upon thousands of people find forgiveness through his messages of how to see how the other person could do what they did and find unity amongst us. He talks to school children about unity like every single week. He's one of my biggest heroes. And I think what he did is a one in a million thing. But again, when the show ended, I said, Chris, man, that was an amazing interview. Thank you for coming here. Your story is so inspiring, but how did you forgive him? And he said, bro, I didn't. I told you, God did. So, you know, if sometimes we just got to pray and we got to say, God, I can't forgive this betrayal on my own. Help me forgive. And if you're sincere about it, he will help. Just be open to the symbols as they show up. Do the work, see your part in it. And then this is all the way we get over betrayal. And then when we're over these hurt feelings, we get to be in good moods again. And then we get to be our best self. And then we get to be a light in the world. And we get to go light up everyone else's life and be amazing. And that's what we're here for, is to be a light. We're not here to suffer these feelings of hurt and sadness and anger and betrayal. We have to go through them so that we can grow. And again, like, what if everyone's just friends? Like our friends on the basketball court. What if everybody's just your friend? And they do things that feel like betrayal to help you grow. You know, I do believe that God sends us problems and challenges not to harm us, but to help us become a more forgiving, a more compassionate, and a more empathetic version of ourselves for our evolution of our soul. Everything is, in my opinion, everything is happening for us and not to us. I hope you've enjoyed this episode. And if you feel those feelings inside of you, check out the work by Byron Katie, and we'll see you guys next week.
Thank you for listening to this week's episode of The Good Mood Show with Matt O'Neill. For free resources, videos, and materials about getting into your best moods, head over to thegoodmoodshow.com. See you next week, same time, same place.